Chapter 50, A Pauper's Wealthy Son. To their dismay, the Rav and the head of the Chevra Kadisha arrived too late. They reached Getzel's house only to discover that he was no longer alive. They found the man they had sent to wait at Reb Getzel's bedside while his neshama left his body still standing there, looking extremely shaken. "Something strange happened here," he exclaimed nervously when he saw them. "I just cannot begin to understand it." "Everyone knows that Getzel the beggar can barely speak," he explained in a trembling voice. "But not long before you arrived, Getzel recited the entire Vidui of Yom Kippur as well as other tefillos. He said them all by heart, perfectly, without my help. When he finished, he closed his eyes and went peacefully to the next world. I can hardly believe what I saw." Rav Nachman Yitzchak clapped his hands loudly in distress. "Baruch Dayan HaEmes," he cried with emotion. Turning to the man, he instructed him to call the other members of the Chevra Kadisha and to prepare for Getzel's Levaya. The Rav and the Gabbai remained in the home so that Getzel's body would not be left alone. Rav Nachman Yitzchak again opened the worn bag and showed the Gabbai hundreds of notes, large and small, that were filled with handwritten numbers and calculations. They realized that Getzel had kept an exact record of all the money that he collected throughout his lifetime. He had recorded the names of whoever had given him money and how much they gave. He also recorded the names of people to whom he had given money. It was clear that although he had collected vast sums over the years, he never kept a penny for himself. He had secretly given it all away to poor individuals and needy families. This was a shocking discovery, and it was soon the talk of the entire Harki. The man they had seen stretching out his hand and mumbling Shema Yisrael year after year was in fact a hidden tzaddik and an extraordinary Baal Tzedakah. Hundreds of people crowded around the shabby home of Getzel the beggar. Before the funeral began, the Rav stood on the doorstep and gave an emotional hesped. "We did not realize that a true tzaddik lived among us," he cried. "We did not treat him properly. We may have embarrassed him or poked fun at him. We did not see the purpose of his existence while he was alive. Now that he has gone to the world of truth, we understand that his passing is a great loss for us all. It is an especially great loss for the many poor families that were helped through his outstanding acts of kindness." Turning to where the body of the tzaddik lay wrapped in a talis, Rav Nachman Yitzchak cried out, "Our beloved Reb Getzel, you hid your holiness from us during your lifetime. You fulfilled the mitzvah of tzedakah in the best possible way, in complete secrecy. You lived with almost nothing for yourself. You raised your own family in poverty. Now, Reb Getzel, you will finally enjoy the goodness that you truly deserve in the special place that awaits you in Olam Haba, together with the neshamis of other tzaddikim. Our Chachamim taught in Pirkei Avos that when a person passes away, he does not take any of his gold, silver, or diamonds with him. He takes only the Torah that he studied and the good deeds that he performed. You, Reb Getzel, will be escorted into Gan Eden with true wealth, the thousands of wonderful acts of chesed that you performed throughout your lifetime." His voice quivered with emotion as he continued, "I have instructed the Chevra Kadisha to fulfill your request and to place your bag containing the records of your remarkable deeds of kindness in your kever, right next to your holy body. On behalf of the entire community of Harki, I beg your forgiveness for not treating you with the respect that you truly deserved. We will remember you as a brilliant example of giving and caring and a lesson in humility. May your neshama remain close to Hashem, the source of all life." The massive crowd listened to their Rav's words in silence. Once he had finished, the largest funeral that Harki had ever seen began. Without a word, all the residents of the city accompanied Reb Getzel to his resting place. As he had requested, he was buried all alone in the first of a new row of graves. While these events were taking place, Reb Getzel's only son Chaim was absent from Harki. He was unaware that his father had passed away. During the funeral, the Rav instructed the community leaders of Harki to send men to search for Chaim. Until we can find him, it will be my privilege to personally recite Kaddish for this tzaddik, promised Rav Nachman Yitzchak. It did not take as long as expected to find Chaim, who immediately traveled to Harki together with his family. He decided to remain there and live in his father's empty house. As strange as it sounds, the fact that the residents of the town were now aware that Reb Getzel had been a tzaddik made no difference to the way they treated his son. Chaim continued to live as a poor man to whom nobody paid attention. He worked at various difficult and tiring jobs to earn a living. Chaim would have carried on like that for the rest of his life, but then something happened. From time to time, Reb Avraham Mendel, one of the Nestarim who lived in Harki, would journey to the town of Mezhebush to meet his Rebbe, the Baal Shem Tov. On one of these trips, the Baal Shem Tov gave Reb Avraham Mendel a special mission. "When you return to Harki," he instructed him, "I would like you to take care of Chaim, the son of Reb Getzel. Teach him Torah and train him in Avodas Hashem. You should know that he has an extremely special neshama. We must help his neshama to reveal its true power." The Baal Shem Tov thought for a while before adding, "You should also know that Chaim faced many difficult spiritual challenges in his life. He stood strong and overcame all of these tests. It has been decided in heaven that he will be rewarded with immense wealth so that he will be able to give tzedakah generously." Reb Avraham Mendel returned home and went straight to meet Chaim. When he offered to teach him Torah, Chaim was absolutely thrilled. Reb Avraham Mendel put all his efforts into fulfilling the Baal Shem Tov's instruction, and Chaim, for his part, did everything he could to learn. Within a short time, he managed to make up for the many lost years. He began studying Chumash and a handful of Mishnayos. Soon he was studying Halacha and Gemara with Rashi, and he continued to make rapid progress. The residents of Harki saw him learning Torah in the Beis Medrash and were shocked at how quickly he had changed. This, however, was not the only tremendous change in Chaim's life. Even Chaim himself was unable to understand why everything he did now seemed wonderfully successful. He was soon able to open his own business and then another, and within a short time, he found himself earning a comfortable income. Within a few years, Chaim became a Talmud Chacham and a prominent businessman. He was filled with gratitude to Hashem for the wonderful change in his life, and he distributed tzedakah with an open hand. Everything that the Baal Shem Tov had told Reb Avraham Mendel was fulfilled in the best possible way. Chaim's life changed in another way, although the residents of Harki were unable to notice, at least at first. Ever since his teacher, Reb Avraham Mendel, had told him about the Baal Shem Tov and his hidden group of followers, he began making secret trips to meet the tzaddik. Chaim became attached to the Baal Shem Tov with all his heart and soul. He joined the group of Nestarim and Harki, attended their meetings, and participated in their activities. Everything was done in secret because the Baal Shem Tov warned them that the time had not yet come for Chassidus to be openly revealed in Harki.